chapter 24, verses 14 through 20. And that's Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 20, right after Deuteronomy. It's on the overhead behind me. And Joshua 24, 14 through 20, and I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, it reads, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." Thus ends the reading of the word.
Oh, know how many of you all agree with that.
Hallelujah.
He is God alone.
Glory
to God. Glory to God. Thank you.
Lord.
Seated in his presence.
All alone.
Amen.
I'm not going to be before you long because we do have that blessed part of the service that we want to get to. But I believe that the Lord wanted me to speak to you today concerning choices.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing he's saying to us today is that it's time to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to choose. For a long time, it seems like forever, we as the church, the body of Christ, the ones that are supposed to be an example to the world, the church that the world is supposed to look at and desire to be like. We, the church, who are supposed to be doing exploits. We are supposed to be, what did Jesus tell me? He said, go and make disciples. But for a long time, we as a church have not been doing that to the degree that God would have us to do that. And so what we find in the body of Christ is a lot of infighting. We find a lot of disappointed people. We find a lot of dislike and gossip and backbiting and all that going on in the body of Christ. We are a special people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm special.
I'm special.
See, you are special to God. And we've got to get to renew our minds to the point where we understand that we are not just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. That sounds good, didn't it? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. That ain't right. You're not a nobody.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm somebody.
I'm
Jesus didn't make no jump. You are somebody. But see, we've got to renew our minds. We've got to renew our minds and get to know who we are in Christ. But in order to renew our minds, church, we've got to make a choice. It's time to choose. Let us pray. Father, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because you are God all by yourself. You are God alone. And besides you, there is none other. Oh God, we ask that you would search our hearts today. And if there's anyone, Lord, that needs to know you and depart of their sin, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will hear, receive, and apply. That they will come to know Jesus Christ this day. For this is the day that you've made, oh God. And we know tomorrow is not promised to us. And so, Father, let this day be the first day of the rest of our lives. And to walk in you, Lord God. Father, speak as only you can speak. I pray that you cultivate hearts and that ears will be open. And your word received. And we thank you for it now by faith. We thank you right now by faith. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the scripture that was read for your hearing, Joshua was saying to the people, he said, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. God is looking for people who's going to serve him. First of all, he's looking for people who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not looking for people that are just going to get up and make some noise and to perform. As beautiful as we can sing, God wants us to go even a little deeper than that. You know, when you know him, you know what to sing about.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we can sing and we can sound good, but we don't know the person we're singing about.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants us to be a people who will serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served. He said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. And in Egypt, serve the Lord. I'm telling you, God has brought you out of Egypt. What do I mean by that? Before you got saved, you were in Egypt. were in Egypt, you didn't have any really control over what you were doing to a degree because you were children of Satan. How dare you call me a child? Yeah, we were all. I was too. I can tell you, people go around and say, we all God's children. We all God. No, that is not true. We're not all God's children. We are that know Jesus. We're all God's creation, but not all his children. The only other children got to be born of it. And the Bible says you must be born again. And so before you got born again, you were of your father, the devil. Before I got born again, I was of my father, the devil, at that time. But when the son, I'm telling you, I'm so glad that the devil didn't have no power to hold us there. You know, if he could have, he would have. But he ain't strong enough. He ain't bad enough. Because he was defeated at the cross. And so we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear son. Aren't you glad about it? And so, and Jesus said to the Pharisees, hey, I'm holy, the Pharisees and Sadducees. These were the religious people. And he said to them, you are of your father, the devil. So that let us know that everybody's not a child of the Most High God. They were of their father, the devil. They weren't following Jesus. They didn't believe Jesus. They were trying their best to prove that he was Beelzebub. And so when we were brought out of Egypt, when we heard and when we received and believed, we were translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. But you who are spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You are triune. Jesus, God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are spirit, soul, and body. And you live in a body. When you got saved, it was your spirit man that was made new. And then it was as you feed your spirit man and you begin to get and renew your mind, and your spirit man brings your mind under subjection. And then as your mind get renewed, guess what? Your body starts going in the right direction. Why? Because whatever you think, that's what you're going to do. If you think on something long enough, that's what you're going to do. That's why the Bible says, think on those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that are of good report.
Yeah, amen.
We got to change our way of thinking. We got to renew our minds. That's why you can't think that you are nobody. You can't go around thinking you are nobody, because if you keep on thinking you are nobody, you're going to act like a nobody. If you think that you are down and out and you can't, doctor can't help it, guess what? You can't help it. The Bible says, yeah, what you said. You begin to talk like you think. But here Joshua is telling the Israelites, he said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. See, when we got saved, a lot of us, most of us, 99.9% of us brought some baggage with us. We got saved, but our body didn't get saved. See, this body on this side won't get saved. The Bible says flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God. We're going to get new bodies. How many of y'all know we're going to get new bodies? Resurrected bodies. Our body's going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're on this side, we have to beat this body. What did Paul say? We got to beat this body. You got to make this body obey. You know, the body ain't going to want to obey. Y'all know, your body don't want to obey. That flesh want to do what it want to do. That flesh want to go where it ain't got no business going. That flesh want to eat what it ain't got no business eating. The flesh want to say what it don't have no business saying. But we've got to bring that body under subjection. And then we have got brought a lot of things with us that we treasured that we should have left behind. See, when you bring things with you, then you're going to have to lay it aside. You're going to have to, and guess what? You don't have to do it on your own. Because once you get into the kingdom, you got the Holy Ghost who indwells you. And then after, when you get saved, you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But then you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to be, if you want the power of the Holy Ghost, you've got to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, there's two. You are, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, walk beside you, teach you. But you need to be baptized and get the power to be the witnesses that God called you to be and me to be. And so when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it enables us to put down some stuff, to get rid of some stuff. You know, you start shedding. As you walk day by day in the Word of God, and as you get into the Word, and as you begin to study the Word, and you begin to eat this Word. Come on, you begin to eat this Word. You begin to chew on this Word. And the only way you can do that is you got to study. You can't just read a scripture a day. It's good to do that if you're not doing nothing. That's better than nothing. But if you want to grow in the Lord, you've got to feast on this Word. And this Word, let this Word get down into your spirit, man. And let this Word become alive in you. How many of y'all know that the Word of God is alive? Mm-hmm. And it's sharp as a two-edged sword.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And when this Word gets down in you and become alive in you, you begin to look like a spiritual Hercules. And when Satan come up to your face, all you got to do is speak the name of Jesus, because you have the power of attorney. God gave you that. Jesus has given us the authority. We don't have to walk in no fear. And I know there's a whole lot of people here walking in fear today. You don't have to. I ain't gonna ask you to tell me who you are. It's so most of us are walking in fear for some reason or another. We're walking in fear because of the recession. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I just lost my job. They laid me off. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm walking around. I'm getting depressed. I'm here to tell you, as a child of the Most High God, He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you out of depression. It was in Egypt that they were depressed. It was in Egypt where they were getting beat. It was in Egypt where they were even made to make bricks without after Moses went down there to try to get them set free, things got worse. I mean, y'all know sometimes when you accept Jesus Christ, things get worse. Mm-hmm. Why is that? That's because the enemy starts fighting. It's not that he's fighting to get you back. It's that he's fighting to stop you from bringing anybody else in. Because he has lost you. So if he can make you look pitiful to the world, and then you go try to tell somebody about your Jesus, they'll say, that's all your Jesus can do for you, you keep him. I can do bad by myself. See, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be a people who are walking in the authority that Jesus has given us, and the world's supposed to look at us. I'm not talking about being rich, come on. I'm not talking about having big houses, big cars. Oh, that's good. But what I'm saying is, when you're going through times of what they would call depression, people looking at you to see how you're going to handle this thing. And if you're whining and crying and talking the problem all the time, they are looking at you and saying, they say they what? Head, not the tail. They look like the tail to me. Because why? We are, instead of glorifying the Lord, we are complaining and whining. And why, you know, people don't like to be around people that whine all the time. Any of y'all like to be around people that whine all the time?
Nope.
The first couple times they whine, you say, oh, come on in, we go pray here. And you get the pattern, okay. Next time they come in, they whine again. All right, sister, you okay? We gonna get through this thing. Here they come again, whining. You start saying, okay. Anything? Do they remember anything we talked about? And then some people, they keep on coming whining, and when they see you coming in that door, they go out the other door. Because it don't want to hear your problems all the time. They want to hear some good news. How many of y'all know people want good news? Mm-hmm. And I've got good news for you today.
Amen.
The good news says you are the head and not the tail. Amen. The good news says that you have the authority that God has given you. You have been set free from Egypt. And so you are to put away the gods that you had back in Egypt. All that baggage that you brought with you, you've got to choose today to leave it behind. Some of you have left it behind. But you have to choose today, say, look, I don't need this. And I don't have to take it. Because I'm of a royal priesthood. Tell your neighbor, I'm of a royal priesthood.
I am royalty.
Guess what? God is training us to reign.
Yes.
In the millennium. He said that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Mm-hmm. Now the suffering does not mean arthritis and lumbago and all of those pains and aches. The suffering is the persecution that the church encounters. Because you know how many of y'all know, there are a lot of people don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that are going to try to put you to the test when you say you're saved. Mm-hmm. They're going to see how saved you are. And not only that, when you begin, when problems come, and they will come. Jesus did not say that when we got saved, we wouldn't have any problems. He doesn't go tiptoe through the tulips. No, he didn't. But what he did say is in this world, you will have tribulations. You're going to have them. They're coming your way. But he said, be a what? Good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And if Jesus, if Jesus and the Father, you are in Jesus, and Jesus have overcome the world, you are an overcomer. Tell your neighbor, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
You see, you've got to begin to say that. And I don't care how bad the situation is, you're no longer in Egypt.
Amen.
Put those gods behind. You know what a god, what some of the gods are? Anything you put in front of Jesus. Some of your gods are your jobs. Mm-hmm. Some of you are making your job your god. Everything comes before Jesus. We've got to get to the point where Jesus, God alone, is first. He is first. Tell your neighbor, he's first.
He's first.
And not only is he first, we're going to find out what Joshua said. And he told him, he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Look, you can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do today, because you may not be here tomorrow. He said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, some of y'all better get that mentality. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me hear you say that.
As for me and my house,
we will
serve the Lord.
I hope you mean it. I hope you mean it, because I'm telling you right now that when you get that in your spirit, I mean that you're going to get a bag of money going to drop out of the sky? No. I have a testimony about how one of the overcomers I had, the wind blew my window out. And so when I reported it to my insurance company, of course, you know, insurance companies are going to try to make the best of everything for themselves. And my deductible that I had was kind of huge deductible. Well, then when they called me, to make a long story short, to tell me, they called me early in the morning too, to tell me that, well, when we did the adjustment and we got some estimates, and we by the time we did the depreciation, it's below your deductible. I said, what you say? It says below your deductible, so I said, so what you saying? Insurance ain't gonna pay nothing, right? And she said, well, appreciating. I said, What you mean by appreciation? Are they going to charge me the depreciation price when they put my window in? Well, no, I said no. So what you're telling me is that you all have estimated an amount based on the depreciation. But when I call the people to put my window in, I'm not gonna appreciate the price that they're gonna give me. And so you're not gonna pay for it? And she said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I'll tell you what, don't worry about it. I'll move on up. And I went on in the bathroom to take my shower. I said, Lord, that's yours too. That's yours. I'm not going to worry. I'm just not going to worry about this. It made no sense to me, as the other Harry said. I didn't understand the depreciation. I know I didn't have no appreciation for what she was telling me. But then, before I could get in the child phone, rang again. She called back. And she said, Miss Easton, you know, I prayed about it. You will get a check. We're going to send out a check to you on Monday. And then when you get the work done, call us and let us know we're going to send another check. I said, hallelujah. I'm glad you prayed about it. Thank you. Thank you. See, you don't mess with God's people. And that may not be big to you. But I ain't got no money to fix that money. And God will meet your need wherever you are. God takes us. See, we can't do things on our own. I don't care how much intelligent you might think you are. I don't care how much you got. Look, there's going to be some things that you just not going to be able to do unless the God of your salvation, who's looking out for you. How many of y'all know God wants your very best? He wants the best for you. Even when things are happening and you say, God, I don't understand this. I just don't see how this is going to work together for my good. Well, maybe that is not working together for your good, but God is. Mm-hmm. See, everything don't work together for your good. I know you take that scripture and say that everything works together for the good of those that are called. Let me tell you what, Satan is doing something. It ain't working together for your good. But God can use anything. Satan don't mean it to work together for your good. He meant it to harm you. But God will tell you, you don't have to. You don't have to worry. How do you know you don't have to worry? Philippians 4:8 said, be anxious for how many things?
Nothing.
And nothing means what?
Nothing.
Don't you worry. You know that little song? Don't worry. Don't worry.
Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. And as if anybody is in that mode, it should be God's people. People should look at you and say, now, with all the things they're going through, how can they be concerned about anybody else? How can they help anybody else out with all the problems that they're going through? You know how we can do it? Because we can't be God-given.
Right.
See, when you begin to give out of your need, right here in Kingdom Covenant Church, we are always looking for somebody to help. We are always, in the summertime, we're giving out school bags, and we're giving out supplies. And what is that because Kingdom Covenant Church in the natural have all of that? No. But whatever we get in, we give it out. We're going to help somebody. Because why? It's showing the love of Jesus. And it's not that we are doing it. Whatever we do, we make sure that the people know that we are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he's doing to help them because he loves them. You always give God the glory. You don't take any glory, because when you do, there's some people that have died because they want to take the glory. And so what we do is we give God the glory for everything that we do. We give God the glory in the, what they say, in the good time and in the bad time. He's still who? God alone. And he's worthy to be praised. And so when Joshua told the people, they said, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other God? For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. What they were saying in essence is, far be it for me not to serve him. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for us, he brought us up out of Egypt and he did all these things for me. Far be it from me not to serve him. And that's what we need to be saying. Look, let me tell you something. God brought me out of a life of sin. I don't care how much money I had, and I was on my way to hell. Bag and baggage. But he brought me up out of a life of sin. And that old song say, took my feet out of the miry clay and placed it on a rock to stay. And see, the one thing about Jesus, I don't know about y'all, but I was walking in fear before I got saved. I wasn't doing a whole lot of flying either. But my job, they want to send me somewhere. I'm trying to find the closest place to go. But I had to fly on to some place they were sending. But I was the kind of person who, when I got in that plane, I was scared. It was the most uncomfortable ride for me. But when I got saved, see, I was brought up in a Christian home, and I just didn't, you know, I ain't gonna listen to what my grandma said. I understand what they saying, but they old. Some of y'all look at me and say, she's old. So she, you know, we got to have our fun. I want to tell you, it was four teenagers in an accident yesterday. It wasn't their fault. They weren't speeding, so I'm told. They were all riding in a car from ages 15 to, I think you said, 18. And an SUV came right on out of nowhere and hit them head on. Killed one instantly, and the rest of them were medevaced. You see, we don't know. It's not about age. It's not about age. You can't say, because I'm young, I'm going to be here tomorrow. Because that 15-year-old was one that was killed, the youngest one in. Killed instantly. Thrown out of the car. Then there was another young lady I heard. I was in this morning for a while. Another young lady in her early, in her late 20s. She just broke her ankle. And you know, you break an ankle, you get it fixed, and you walk home. Well, a blood clot developed and killed her instantly, leaving two little children. I'm here to tell you that the enemy, and did God do that? No. No. Don't think that everybody leave this world, God has done it. No, he didn't. The enemy is out to kill. He says he came to what?
Kill,
and destroy. And so even as you get in your car to drive, you need to say a prayer before you take off. Because there are some people, I believe, who've lost their lives simply because they did not pray. Because when you begin to pray, God sends his angels. Because his angels heed the voice of his word. And as you get in that car, you pray before you leave here. I don't care if you're going six blocks down the street. You pray. And thank God for his angels that watch over you and accompany you and protect you. I don't leave home without praying. When I get in that car, the first thing I do is thank God for his angels that encamp about me and take me safely to my destination. Because we don't know what's on the other side, but God does. And that's why it is good to serve the Lord, church. Joshua said, for me and my, these people said, hey, well, after all God has done for us, and then guess what Joshua said? He said, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions or your sins. That don't sound too good, does it? He said, you cannot serve the Lord. He said, for he is a holy God. He is a just God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He said, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you. has done you good. Well, it sounded like Joshua was really, you know, I mean, they all hyped up, and yet, I mean, yes, we're going to serve the Lord, and all that he has done for us, yes, we're going to serve him too. We're going to serve him. And then it was like throwing cold water on a hot fire. You know, these people are all excited. He said, you can't serve. But what he was really trying to do is to remind them that you can't do nothing on your own. I'm going to serve the Lord, and because all he has done with the aid of the Holy Spirit. See, people don't, a lot of times we say, well, we're going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But we need to say, with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when we start talking about what we're going to do, in a lot of cases, if it's not in the will of if not in the written will of God, we need to say it would be the will of God. If God's will, man, you don't have to say I'm going to be healed if it's the Lord's will. Because it is his will. You just begin to speak your healing, speak your healing. I don't care, it might seem like it's getting worse, but you speak. You say what God said. God watches over his word to perform it. And you need to say what God said because you have the authority to use his name. And in Mark 11, I think it's 23, 24, he says, you shall have what you say. So you got to watch what you're saying, church. As the body of Christ, we need to choose our words. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we talk without thinking. We say things without thinking. But once it's out there, it's out there. And you know, Satan can't read your mind, but he can take your words and run with them. He operates on your words. He operates on what you say. Because he cannot read your mind. He is powerful, but he's not all powerful. He's strong, but he's not omnipotent. See, Satan, I want you to understand he's defeated. He is a defeated foe. But you've got to choose. You've got to choose whether you're going to walk in the victory that Jesus says, that he died and rose again for us. He has already, you are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from a position of victory. If you don't believe it, in Ephesians, the first chapter, says we have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it says that he put all things under Jesus' feet. So if we are in him, then all things are under our feet. Now, I'm not talking about down here. I'm talking about if we've been elevated positionally, and then that's what you're talking about, positionally, and then I'm sitting here in the church. But you are in the spirit realm. You have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that is above all powers, all principalities. See, Satan is not in the third heaven. He is in the atmospheric heavens, in the second. He is not in the third heaven. So when you are in Christ Jesus, he's under your feet. He is under your feet, and you've got to keep him under your feet. And how do you keep him under your feet? I know we sing songs here about he's under my feet. He's under my feet. That don't mean nothing if we don't believe that we have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And see, we can't just stop and keep them under our feet. We got to live holy.
All right.
We got to do what God says. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, look, you're not going to keep on sinning. You're not going to practice sin. Do we sin? Yes. But when you, once you know something is wrong, you're not going to keep on doing that. Why? Because you love the Lord and you want to please him. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to lead you, to guide you. You come equipped with the armor of God. He said, put on a whole armor, whereby you may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you're walking in the armor of God, you got the helmet of salvation. You got the breastplate of righteousness. You got the shield of faith. You got the word of God. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth. Hey, you armor down, you equipped. No, you don't have anything for your back because surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. and the Holy Ghost is leading you. You're surrounded. You're protected. So choose. Choose this day that you're going to walk in the authority, that you're going to walk in the victory, and that you are going to serve the Lord, because what is his will that you serve him? And when you make that choice, you know that you're not just making that choice that this is something you're going to do in and of your own ability. But you know that the Holy Spirit indwells you. And you know what? It's all right to cry out to the Lord. It's all right to say, Lord, help me out of it. I can't handle this. He said, honey, I know you can. And he come right on beside you. When you fall down, guess what? He picks you up. What happened to Peter when he told him? Peter said, if it be you, bid me come. He said, no. Peter stepped out there, he was doing good till he took his eyes off of Jesus. He put his eyes on the thing that he was afraid of. He began to sing what in Jesus. See, God is not about putting us down. He's about picking us up out of the muck and the mire. But he don't want us to return to, like the dog returned to his owner. He wants us to continue to lean and depend on him. He brought us out of Egypt. We are now walking in the light. We are the children of light. And the world should look at us and wonder, how do they do it? They should look at us and say, I want what she has. I want to be able to be strong like she is. I know she's going through some things. I know her children are going through some things. I know she's being persecuted, but she don't let it stop. But she's still moving on. Same thing for he's still moving on. He just lost his job and he don't know how he's gonna care for his family. But one thing he knows is the word said, my God just apply all my money according to his glory, riches in Christ Jesus. So do you get all bent out of shape, or do you go try to do some shady things to make some money? Don't you do it, because it'll put a hole in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play the lottery. You don't have to gamble. Because it'll just put a hole in your pocket, easy come, easy go. What you need to do is rely on God, and he will meet every need that you have. But you gotta choose. It's a choice, truth. And so I hope today that everybody in here, that you, if you haven't been choosing the right, making the right decisions, choose today. Won't you choose today? Make that choice that you're going to walk in victory. Because you are victorious. You are victorious. And you don't have to be walking around in anxiety and fear. You don't have to be walking around thinking this person needs God. Look at what God doing. When you see one person get blessed, rejoice with them. Because your day is coming.
Amen.
Don't get jealous. Don't get jealous. Don't get mad that somebody else get a big home and you don't have your house. And why would it be the same? No. What you do is you can rejoice with them. Because you know. If you walk up right before him, your time is coming. Because God wants the very best for you. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to ask this. Is there